Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, bringing you the great debate. We're debating whether or not the Egyptian revolution has been stolen, whether there has been a military coup. Will it be successful? Will Morsi be declared the president of Egypt? Will it matter if he is? What will be the response if the remnant of the old regime, Mr. Shafik, is declared the winner? The election result was supposed to be announced today, which was a long enough delay, I thought, but it's just been delayed. And who knows if it will ever be announced? And if it is announced, what difference will it make? We're talking about the situation in Palestine, where in Gaza, another 9 Palestinians were massacred by Israel in the last 24 hours. Will anyone do anything about it? Will the Arab regimes do anything about it? Will Israel be subject to sanctions about it? Will Saudi Arabia and Qatar start giving money and weapons to the Palestinians to defend themselves against this massacre? Well, I only ask. And we're talking about the situation in Bahrain, where a 9-year-old boy, no, 11-year-old, he just looks 9, 11-year-old boy has been charged with threatening the security of the country by standing in the road. That's right, an 11-year-old boy is in prison instead of in primary school, and he is being threatened with a prison sentence for standing in the road. And who's doing it? The brute dictators of Bahrain, armed, financed, and backed by Britain and by the United States of America, and by that friend of liberty, Saudi Arabia, which invaded Bahrain to kill people like that boy if they had the temerity to ask for democracy. That's the same Saudi Arabia who, together with Qatar, constitute the Friends of Democratic Syria, except those Friends of Democratic Syria have no democracy in their own countries and are killing it in Bahrain. And indeed, the people that they're giving the money and the weapons to in Syria don't much look and sound like Democrats to me. So all of these issues are up tonight, together with the situation of Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder, the man who did a signal service to humanity, and I'll say ought to be given the Nobel Peace Prize in Scandinavia, is instead in hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy next to Harrods in London, where a huge media circus has assembled, because he fears if he's sent to Scandinavia that they'll send him to the United States of America, where a sealed indictment almost certainly exists to try him for espionage and send him to prison, maybe in Guantanamo Bay, certainly on the same kind of conditions as Guantanamo Bay, for the rest of his natural life. For doing what? For publishing the truth. For publishing the truth they didn't want us to read. So these are the subjects. I'm going to go now to Eric in Germany to see what he thinks about the situation in Egypt. Eric, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, first of all, I'm very glad to follow your program this time around on TV, because thanks God, again, the Press TV is transmitting in Germany.
Excellent. Now, very, very good news. I look forward to the day when we can say the same here in Britain.
Yes, I hope so. Mr. Galloway, I just want to say something very short about Egypt. You see, as you mentioned in the beginning of your program, that they dissolved the military junta, they dissolved the parliament, and they changed the not even existing real constitution to that aim that the president, whoever is going to win, is going to have no power. Because if, for example, is someone going to win like Morsi, who is not exactly their candidate, so he has no power, and even if they start to declare Shafik the winner, so if he has no power, there's no problem, because the military junta is behind him and they have the power, so it's, he is their man. But what I'm trying to say is that, as you mentioned, all these steps shows that behind the scene, the leader of the free world, the United States of America, is planning the whole coup. That's a coup d'etat in Egypt. And so they are going step by step. What I want us just to say in all humbleness to the Egyptian people, I greet them from Germany, from German people, and in all humbleness, I want just to say, as long as there is any institution in Egypt from the old regime which directs and plans the election, even the date of election or whatsoever, as long as they start to direct and plan the so-called revolution and democracy in Egypt, as long as they are there, there will be no revolution and there will be no democracy in Egypt. The Egyptian people, they should know, no one from the old regime will ever give them the democracy.
Eric, they a wonderful call. Eric, absolutely.
The whole old system in Liberty Square and then establish their own institution.
An excellent call, Eric, in Germany on Egypt. Thanks for that. Wayne in the UK wants to talk about Julian Assange. Wayne, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George. It was just wanted to say it was a serious privilege to shake your hand and meet you on Saturday at the conference.
Thanks very much, Wayne. I appreciate that.
Right. I want to speak about the WikiLeaks situation.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could give me some advice. Basically, first of all, the information which Julian gets from the WikiLeaks, now, do they put out everything, or do they make decisions on what they put out? And if they do, on what basis, or are they playing God themselves in only giving us so much information? I just don't know.
I don't know either, actually, Wayne. I have nothing to do with the WikiLeaks, I quickly add, just in case they come to try and arrest me. I have nothing to do with WikiLeaks, and I don't know that. It may be that there's other stuff they could have published and didn't. I have no way of knowing that. What I do know is that what they did publish made the powerful in the world extremely uncomfortable. And I believe that this is their revenge. Wayne, thanks for the call, brother, and great to meet you at the weekend. Fred is in Nigeria, wants to talk about Bahrain. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, George, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I just want to say that few years ago, there was an invasion by Saddam Hussein of Kuwait. Immediately this happened, United States bounced on Iraq, on Iraq, slaughtering, killing, doing all sorts of things to liberate Kuwait because they were ruling Kuwait, having those that they put at the head as emirs or whatever you call them, that are their leaders, controlling them, using the money of Kuwait to develop chemical weapons that they use to go to kill other people in other countries. Why is it then they are now allowing Saudi Arabia, that is their friend, they're ruling, using their oil money to kill Bahrainians, sending weapons to Syria to cause upheaval in Syria? Why this double standard? I want to put this to the viewer, to the public, to your viewers, that America, UK, and some part of European countries have blood in their hands, as you said, that they have blood on the deck of their ships, they have blood on their hands, and Mohammed from Pakistan said they will suffer. How would somebody be advertising for democracy? You go into another man's country, killing innocent children, look at people running all over the place in television. And only this fact, you can only see in Press TV. Now they close Press TV in United States, in the United Kingdom. Why this double standard?
Fred, I'm not going to try and top that, because as an indictment, it was so powerful, it stands on its own. I just enter this caveat that they didn't close Press TV in the United Kingdom. We're still broadcasting. You just can't get us on Sky, but there are many, many people in Britain who are watching this broadcast by all manner of means, some of them unknown to me technologically. Some are watching on the internet, some are watching on Arabsat, some are watching on Nilesat, some are watching on Eutelsat, some are watching on Hotbird. And if you're watching on the internet, I suggest you go on to some of these satellites. Fred, thanks for the call. Let me go to the comment wall, take a couple of emails, because we want every point of view up here. This one is from London. Charlie, this Assange scenario is amazing. He's been leaking important confidential documents for the past few years, documents that have shocked and embarrassed the US and UK. Suddenly, Assange is accused of a crime and he's investigated. Right now, he's seeking asylum in a London embassy building. And if he steps out, the British police will arrest him. How awesome would it be if a secret rescue team helicopter blows the roof off and airlifts him out? I call Julian Byrne true enemy of the state. Well, I don't know who Julian Byrne is, unless that's the Byrne ultimatum, in which case I'm showing my ignorance. But your summary of what Assange has done and what he now faces is absolutely bang on the money. So thanks, Charlie, for that. Let's go back to the comment wall. Take some more emails if we can. People always complain we don't take enough of these. Terry in London, walk us through the various stages of media and government action following news that Iran has imprisoned an 11-year-old boy for blocking a road to freedom. Open our eyes, then tell Cameron what he can do about Bahrain, please. Well, how absolutely brilliant is that? Terry makes an absolutely coruscating point. If Iran arrested an 11-year-old boy for blocking the road, held him in prison, and put him on trial with the prospect of a lengthy term behind bars, what do you think the British media would today be saying about it? And then compare and contrast with what the British media have had to say about this little boy, whom I'm willing to bet none of you knew about until you saw it here on Press TV, the voice of the voiceless. Let's go to Denmark, talk to Troels about Assange. Troels, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to get the chance to speak with you, and I just love your show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
just a few minutes ago, I think it was Eric from
Germany,
and you, I think both of you said that you, I didn't hear it so well, but I think you said that you didn't know if Julian Assange edited or sorted out the information.
Yes,
before.
It was whether WikiLeaks had held back some material that they ought to have published.
I just want to make a simple comment on that, and that is that I've been following this somewhat carefully, it is my deep impression that Julian Assange has held some information back, which would information that might put somebody in unnecessary danger. And he has not just thrown everything out on the internet with no regard to what risks people might be taking.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
And I think that's a very good point that I might well have made myself. I think it was Wayne, actually. I think Wayne might have been getting at whether or not WikiLeaks, for political reasons, not for personal safety reasons, but for political reasons, had picked and chosen its targets.
Yes. There's one question I'd like to ask you to try to say something on. We all know that have heard of so many cases of people going and seeking asylum in.
Oh, what a pity! It was such a brilliant call from Denmark, from Troels, whom I haven't spoken with before. Let's go to Iran next. Talk to Hadi about Egypt. Hadi, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I am honored to talk to you. And thanks for your defense of right.
Thank you.
I'm very small to recommend somebody, but I recommend to Egypt people. Galloway to continue revolution, they don't fail from military and Western country and Israel. If we Muslims be utilized, we can win against a powerful Western country. And we must defense of openness. I hope for you to be success in your work.
Well, Hadi, thank you very much. It wasn't the best line, but it was a really good call, and I'm very grateful to you for it. Ishraqa is in London, wants to talk about Egypt. Ishraqa, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Nice to speak to you. Just a comment about Egypt. Mm. I think the problem there is the army itself.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, they won't change the regime, but a different place, the same regime. And as long as the army is paid by the Americans, the Egyptians will never have any democracy at all.
Well, of course, the Egyptian people have shown a year ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, just what can be done by mass action. They did force the downfall of the dictator, and they did get the old regime's ministers behind bars, and the sons of Mubarak, who were destined to become the new presidents of Egypt, they're also behind bars. So mass action works, but it has to really be mass, and it has to really be sustained, and it has to be led. And there's been a lack of clarity given by the Muslim Brotherhood to this revolutionary force which has come forth in Egypt. I'm hoping that some kind of collective leadership involving Hamdine Sabahi, who did so well in the presidential elections, who came second, many people believe, in those elections, but officially came third. Abdel Fattah, my own friend, who did also extremely well in these elections. Dr. Morsi himself, the Muslim Brotherhood. It's time to put aside such differences as exist and make one fist, a real national directorate that can lead this revolutionary movement in Egypt. That's what I think, Ishraqa. Thanks very much for your call. I'm going back to Denmark because Truls is back on the line. Truls, very nice to talk to you again. Yes. Go ahead and finish your point, please.
Thank you for giving me a chance.
Go on.
Okay. The part that I didn't hear was concerning Assange's the possibility of him going to Ecuador.
Yeah.
And that's because we have all heard so many cases of people seeking asylum in another country, hiding out in an embassy, and actually succeeding in this. So why is this case with Ecuador? Why is it so much more difficult?
Well, some people, Trolls, have spent many years in embassies, and I know the Ecuadorian embassy, and I can assure you, it's not going to be able to put Julian Assange up there for
years. But
it's
much bigger than a cell in a prison.
Well, it is, but I don't think he wants to stay in that building for years, and I don't think the Ecuadorians will want him to stay for years. That's the point. They could make him a diplomat,
yes,
or they could wrap him up in a diplomatic bag and take him to the airport. And it would be very interesting if the British authorities would arrest him in those circumstances. Trolls, great to hear from you. Let's talk, probably lastly, to Ali in Leeds about the Middle East as a whole. Ali, welcome to the show.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Nice to hear from you. Go on.
I just want to congratulate you for the good work that you're doing.
Thanks.
I mean, I was watching you, your appearance before the Senate in the U.S. and your debate with Christopher Hitchens. You really earned my respect, and I want to let you know that you're doing great work. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Ali.
I've got a point to make about the West supporting dictators in the Middle East.
Yep.
And I mean, every time we ask the politicians in the UK, we ask, why are you supporting them and then taking down, like Gaddafi or Saddam, they all you know, it was a mistake, we shouldn't have done it, we should learn from our mistakes. But the same mistakes are being made at the, like right now. I mean, we're supporting other dictators, but nobody's talking about them.
Go on, give me an example.
Well, you know, we're supporting Saudi Arabia, we're supporting Bahrain, Yemen, you know, we're supporting Qatar, UAE, there's so many of them that, like, the, you know, the West is supporting. And I think it's really ridiculous.
Well, that's the policy of our country and the United States, and it's deeply cynical, Ali. It is about supporting those dictators we think can last so that we could go on stealing their things. And it's about opposing other regimes in the region where we think they can be toppled and replaced by a regime more sympathetic to Western policy and Western goals. Of course, they've made that mistake before. They helped into power in Afghanistan, giving all the money and all the assistance that they could. A group which is now fighting them in Afghanistan with the weapons which Britain and America gave them to fight the Soviet Union 30 years ago. It is a deeply, deeply cynical policy of my enemy's enemy is my friend. Even if your enemy's enemy is worse than your enemy, you might think that you can control your enemy and you might think that you can decide the outcome. But Frankenstein should be read to the end. The monster that Dr. Frankenstein created was out of control by the end. That's why he was called a monster. Well, it's been marvelous for me. These were my views, nobody else's. I hope you enjoyed them. And if you did, God willing, come back and see me again next week at the same time. Until then, go in peace.
Hello, just comment your name and the place you left my number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directed to your phone number and then we'll be back.
Comment. Can I have your telephone number?